long shot for a big score? You need Silly Underdog Picks.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
It may be a long shot, but it's all you've got. It's time to pick your dark horse.
And not your nose.
This is Silly Underdog Picks.
Brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
Silly Underdog Picks. Now on 3D.
It is Silly Underdog Pick time. We must review, unfortunately. Darren McFarland here at the desk. Good thing we have a commissioner and a deputy commissioner, because the way our so-called experts, and that's including me, I'm calling us so-called experts, the panel, our attendance this year, we have needed the commissioner and the deputy commissioner to make picks. D-Mace is out today.
Our attendance is not good.
I think it's something that myself and the associate commissioner are going to have to meet on.
Yeah.
Figure out how we get better attendance. Will there be demerits?
What does that mean?
I don't know.
The progress reports are not good.
Yeah, I was a lot of things in school, but attendance was not one of my issues.
That happened at the Delta House in the movie Animal House, and they had to come in.
It was a problem.
Dean Wormer had to come in and ask those guys, have you seen your midterm reports? I have.
George is doing a function today.
Yes.
So you've got to pick for him. Somebody's got to pick for Derek. We say hello to former MTSU, and I'm trying to think what team he would want me to say.
No, don't worry about it.
You don't want me to say Browns. You don't want me to say Bills. Like, who? Like, what do you – who would you associate with in the NFL, Kelly?
Well, I kind of associate myself with the Browns, but the Browns can't beat eggs right now. So, I mean, it's been like a decade since they could beat eggs, so it's really bad.
Yeah, and now you can add yet again to that long and illustrious quarterback list that you're on.
Deshaun Kizer.
You can add Deshaun Kizer and – Kevin Hogan. Now they have decided yet again to a new quarterback. Oh,
yeah, it's a merry-go-round, man. It's just, you know, I talk about it all the time with you guys. It's a shame that they can't get it right there, because the city deserves better.
You're right about that, and I don't know. I put this stat out there on Monday. I don't know if you've seen this. They are 2-30 in their last 32 games in the NFL. 2-30. I mean,
2-30. Wow.
You could accidentally win a couple more games just by, you know, somebody getting hurt during the course of the game, or somebody eating, you know, bad room service the night before. I mean, something. But 2-30 in their last 32 games.
It's really bad. They're really bad. I mean, they're a really bad football team. It's just, I don't know. They can't seem to get it right. You know, coaches have been a merry-go-round. You know, it's been a revolving door. Quarterbacks have been a revolving door. It's amazing.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks, Al Dorsey wears his orange proud. They have decided to, and as you heard here on 3D on Tuesday, we broke the news to everybody that Jarrett Garantano would be the starting quarterback against South Carolina on Saturday. Al, what do you think about the move?
I think you don't have much choice, and I also think we might as well just go right straight to the picks.
Oh, wow. Oh, my. Not the response that I expected to get from you. Are you done? Are you throwing in your orange towel?
No, it is what it is, you know.
Now, wait a minute. I believe – Kelly, did the general not say last week that he would support his coach until he's no longer the coach?
Yeah, he was all in. He's going to support it.
Oh, it's from that standpoint, there's no question. They can easily be 8-4, might end up 9-3.
This season? Or are you talking about, are you reviewing last year?
This season.
This season, you think they could be 8-4 or 9-3?
But why is that unrealistic?
Yeah, because except for Alabama, who else? Everybody they have left is horrible. Just like that.
Right. Well, they're all winnable.
They could
they're,
easily win them all. They could easily lose a bunch of them, too.
They're not going to lose all
right.
of them.
A bunch of them, I said. I didn't say all. I said a bunch.
That's why this is an important game this weekend. Because South Carolina, I don't know if I would say they're horrible.
Well, if they're horrible, then what's Arkansas?
Well, exactly. And week to week, I mean, I think there are some teams that can look horrible but also be decent.
This league, you take Alabama, Georgia, Auburn out, is a pathetic league.
So you think it's top heavy, three teams, and everybody else just throw them in a bag?
Yeah. It was that way in the 90s with Tennessee and Florida. Every year, who was going to win the conference? It was either going to be Tennessee or Florida.
Okay, well, let's do that little experiment because I don't think you'll get a lot of pushback on that statement. But if we had to choose, let's say, for the sake of this discussion, teams 4 and 5 in the conference, who are they?
I think Florida would be.
Florida's in that mix?
Either 4 or 5.
Florida, South Carolina, Tennessee.
No, wait a minute. We can only have two teams. So if we had to narrow it down to the next
LSU
two teams,
would be maybe in there just by virtue of having one at
is
Florida.
Is Mississippi State in there?
I wouldn't put it in there.
They shredded LSU.
You know, that's the thing. None of them are very good. I mean, you take the whole rest of the league, and they're very average teams.
Kelly, who would you put in there, 4 and 5?
Well, I know Florida's got to be one of them. I don't know. I think it's a bad league, too, but I mean, does...
But how do you put Florida in when they lose to LSU?
I know.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's true. That's true. What do you do about Kentucky, right?
I know. You look, they're 5-1. I get it, and they should be 6-0. But you know, they have not been. I get it. Their record is, but they haven't been that impressive. I mean, that win Saturday. I don't care how you slice it. Beating Missouri by 6 is not impressive in Lexington. That's just not. Everybody's been destroying Missouri, winning by 40. Winning by 6 is not impressive.
You're always going to have games like that, though, Dan. You're always going to have games where you're not hitting on all cylinders, and every team goes through that during the year. You're going to have one or two games where, you know, you just squeak it out sometimes. So, I don't know. But
here's the thing, Kelly. They squeaked it out the week before at home against Eastern Michigan. I mean, they've squeaked out two wins.
I know this is your – but I don't want to say that, but it is Kentucky. We're talking about Kentucky being 5-1 right now. I mean, that's pretty good when you talk about Kentucky and football.
Believe me, I know. Okay. All right. I guess we've put it off as long as
I sense that there's a little bit of procrastination going
on. Well, you know how, like, the coaches that don't want to answer questions, they talk long.
Right.
You try to trim down time of possession. Right. You try to trim down the questions, the Q&A session.
The tough questions.
So you talk a lot
Butch Jones has been doing that. He's been paring down the time of the press conference.
So you talk longer in this segment to save less time for the review. With that being said, we have to review.
That's a leadership rep right there.
Yeah. I thought we were going straight to the pick.
Yeah, we don't have to review. I mean, hey, we all stuck.
Yeah, there's a lot of X's on the board. Willie, I turn it over to you, the commissioner. Oh, Willie D.
Thank you, Darren, and welcome to another week of the Silly Underdog Picks 2017, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gas. This is your commissioner speaking. Let's take a look back on another fun week. Online first at thegamenashville.com. There were some big scores there. There were not on the on-air competition with the insiders, unfortunately. But James Hyde found the right solution. After all the belly aching the panel did last week, it's a bad board. I can't find anybody to pick. He came up with 46 points, people. You guys might need to call James or maybe send him an email.
Wow.
And get some advice.
Who did he have?
I don't know. It does not say here. I've not been given that info.
46 points?
46 in three games.
Well, what were
he's
the big
digging,
upsets?
He's digging deep. He's finding the info.
Oh, did he? He must have had Iowa State.
Yeah, he had to have Iowa State.
Yep.
Iowa State was the big one. I'm going to tell you how many people picked Iowa State here in just a moment. But nobody, I should say collectively, the most popular picks, nobody selected a team more than 20%. Usually there's somebody that everybody hones in on for at least 20%, a lot of times 25 or 30%. The most popular picks, Michigan State against Michigan, 18% of the audience took that one. West Virginia at TCU, 18% took that one, and 17% took Kansas State. So none of those teams, I don't think, were real big underdogs.
Well, all of them were losers but Michigan State.
I'll tell you what, 1% of the audience took Iowa State.
Wow.
12 people.
Wow.
12 people took Iowa State. I have to believe that James Hyde was one of them.
I guess so.
The Cyclones. Did anybody see that one coming? 12 people did.
I guess if you have three darts, you just sling them out
there.
There
you go.
And hope one sticks, right?
That's right. All right, for the insiders. Derek Mason had the first pick. He went with Kansas State, a popular pick, 3.5 points, the underdog at Texas. They were right there. It went to double OT. Kansas State had chances to win, had the lead in the fourth quarter. Could not find a way to win. The Longhorns take it 40-34, and that drops Derek to 1-5 with 3.5 points, and he is in the cellar. Chase, you've talked to Derek. You've corresponded with Derek. Is there a reason why he's decided to duck out today? Is it because he's in the cellar?
I think, actually, we have found out where he is.
Oh,
he,
I know. I know the answer. I don't think you know.
Is he on the mountain?
No, he's
on the mountain with Otis?
He's taken Otis to rehab.
Yes.
Okay.
He did an intervention. He is checking on Otis.
It's an intervention.
Yes. He's checking on Otis. So he has put me in charge of the week. He has given me some picks, and I hope they are not coming from the Drunk Eagle.
Well, Otis is trying to dry out, so
he needs to.
He's taking him to a facility.
Well, the good news is for Derek, he's not that far behind the pack because the rest of the group has struggled as well. Plaz, and I made a notation on here last week, he had a book it pick. He went with Utah, a 5.5 point home dog, playing a Pac-12 rival, Stanford. And this one was tight.
Yeah, it really wasn't.
They made a late run.
They scored a late touchdown.
They made a late run.
It was not.
It was a backdoor cover?
It was a backdoor cover, yes. A cover, yes.
Stanford ends up winning the game 23-20. Now, for those of you that might be new to Nashville, new to the competition, the silly underdog picks go like this. You must pick the underdog to win outright. If they don't win outright, you don't get any points, even if your team does cover like the Utes did. So no points for Plaz. He also drops to 1-5, and he's got 5 points, which sadly keeps him in third place. We need to pick up this competition. I think attendance is down, and I think the points are down. Kelly Holcomb is the one guy that has been a shining light in the competition so far. He went with Utah State. He's had success going with games that are not in the spotlight. Off the beaten path, the Aggies were an 8-point dog against Colorado State playing on Saturday, and it did not happen for Kelly. 27-14, the Rams win, and that drops Kelly to a very respectable 3-3 with 15 points. Kelly still has the lead in the competition. So, Kelly, you're still doing okay.
Hanging in there. Hey, we just had a setback. We just got some obscure games. Might have another obscure game today. I'm not sure. I'm still contemplating my pick, but, it's worked for the first, 6 weeks of the season, so we'll see how it goes.
You can find Kelly's selections on Bad Beats on SportsCenter on Monday nights. We had Stanford Steve on yesterday.
And you can see it on the games are on Cartoon Network.
Yes. Darren McFarland had the fourth pick. He went with the Florida State Seminoles. A 3-point home dog against arch rival Miami.
Ridiculous.
This one had a wild finish. It went back and forth, several lead changes in the fourth quarter alone. And Florida State took a lead 20-17, only to see Miami drive the field and score to make it 24-20 and hang on to win. So that drops Darren also to 1-5, but he's in second place with 7 points. Darren, you went short thinking that Florida State had a good chance of winning, and they were right there. It was just they had the hearts ripped out.
It was a winner.
At Doak Campbell Stadium.
I mean, I felt strongly about the Cowboys in pick six. Sunday, they score, you know, what I thought was going to be the game-winning touchdown. Green Bay marches right down the field, scores a touchdown in a minute, less than a minute.
The trials.
Florida State took the lead. I thought it was a winner. And they gave up a late touchdown at home.
The trials and tribulations of the competition.
The Seminoles are not very good.
Al Dorsey had the final pick. He went with Minnesota. The Golden Gophers, a three-point dog on the road at Purdue. It didn't happen.
By the way, that score is deceiving, too.
Well, Purdue.
Very deceiving.
Minnesota had a lead.
Minnesota
had
was
a lead
leading
in
late.
The third quarter.
No, they were leading in the fourth quarter. First of all, they had a big lightning strike. The game took, it was delayed for a long time.
Purdue, though, scored, I think, the final 18 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, did you see when they scored it? In, like, the last minute.
I did not
see
that.
They were losing by three. They scored two touchdowns in the
last minute. So you're saying
the
general might be bitter. The final 31-17. So, General, your reaction?
After an hour's delay, the Minnesota team forgot that they had to go back out there and get on the bus and went home.
So there were imposters wearing the jerseys.
Look, they're leading. And Purdue scores, goes for two, gets that to go up seven. And Minnesota's driving to try to tie it up at the end of the game, and they throw a pick six.
Ooh.
That's how the game – I mean, that score was very, very deceiving.
Okay, so a good win for Jeff Brohm, a tough loss for the General and the Gophers. 1-5 is also the General's record. He's in fourth place with just 4 points. So heading into week seven, Plaz has the first pick. Again, an absence. Very costly. This day job is a tough thing over at Belmont. He actually has to – he's in an office. He's got to work sometimes.
Yeah, he apparently
has a real inconvenience.
He has a public appearance. And by the way, you guys are getting trolled by our winner from last week on Twitter right now.
Is he talking trash?
If you need some of that expert advice, just let me know.
Can you ask him who the three picks were?
He says Iowa State, Southern Miss, Central Michigan. Were those all winners? Iowa State was the one. I don't look at the
Central,
Southern.
Was Central Michigan the seven overtime?
No, that was Western Michigan.
Western Michigan. One of the Michigan.
Wrong directional Michigan.
I'm just trying to see. Central Michigan, 45 people took them, 5% of the audience. And what was the other one?
Southern Miss.
8% of the audience took that one. So some people had that one against University of Texas, San Antonio. All right, when we come back, it'll be the picks for week seven. Plaz will lead it off. It'll be Chase making the pick. Kelly will pick second, the leader in the competition. Darren will pick third, one night after his beloved Cleveland Indians have been eliminated by the Yankees. So it'll be a very sad rendition of Indians fever. Yeah. Al Dorsey, the General, the defending champion, right now in fourth place, has the fourth pick. And Derek Mason, once again absent, laying low. Maybe taking his mascot, Otis the Eagle, to a rehab program. He will have the fifth pick, and again, he has slipped the picks to Chase. Stay tuned. Silly Underdog Picks, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, coming back after this.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
When criminals in this world appear, that they should fear, and frighten all who see or hear. The cry goes up both far and near for Underdog. Underdog.
Silly Underdog Picks, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. It is time to make the picks for week number seven. If you missed our last segment, right now the competition looks like this. Kelly Holcomb, NFL veteran quarterback, is in the lead with 15 points, looking for his first ever season title. Season is young, but he's off to a good start. He's got 15. In second place, four players that only have one win apiece. Darren with 7 points, Plaz with 5, Al Dorsey with 4, and Derek Mason with 3.5. So we move on to week 7. Leading off is the absent but ever-present George Plasta.
That is good music. Isn't that what he would say?
Now that is good music.
Now hold on. That's good music. That's a classic right
classic
there.
Classic right there. All right.
None of that weird stuff.
No Miss Gaga.
Yes, yes. Lady Gaga.
So I talked to George, and he said he didn't know where he was picking, but he gave me this one first, and he said that I have to say this verbatim if this was the pick.
Oh,
you have to sell it.
I have to sell it. So with the first pick, George.
Is this a ba-ba-ba-ba-ba word?
Is going with Georgia Tech, and he said book it.
Oh, boy. Well, you can kiss that one goodbye. Honestly, that was the first one I had on my list.
Georgia Tech is a 5.5-point dog at Miami. Now, what's interesting about this is it opened up at 10.5.
It is.
It is shrunkage.
Yes.
What do they know?
Sliced in half.
What do they know?
What has gone on?
Well, Miami had the big emotional win in Tallahassee over Florida State.
But there's got to be something more than
that. The natural letdown. Well, Georgia Tech's pretty good.
They are pretty good, but why did it open at 10.5 and go to 5.5?
Because everybody's pounding Georgia Tech. That's why.
All right, so George, so far in the competition, I believe, is 0 for 2 in
buckets? Well, we know he's 0 for buckets, yeah.
He's 0 for buckets.
That's not just this competition. Like, this is dating back years.
Okay, that's a good
point. He's 0 for buckets.
I don't have those career stats in front of me here, but 5.5 for Georgia Tech. And Miami has played some good football, we have to say. They're having it the last couple weeks in particular.
I mean.
By the way, this is the third straight week in the competition that somebody has picked against Miami.
Is this their third straight away game? Didn't they beat Duke?
They ripped Duke
on Friday night. That was a road game.
But this one is at Miami.
Oh, this one's in Miami?
This one is in Miami, yeah.
Oh, I figured it was in Atlanta for it to drop like that. Wow.
Nope. So Tech is the pick.
Okay.
That brings us to the leader in the competition from Lincoln County High School, Kelly Holcomb.
We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can.
George can't pick a bucket.
Okay, I want to get this out there. You know, I was with George yesterday, and he got, first of all, he got all his food on his master's shirt, which was a joke. Instead of eating it in his mouth, it was on his shirt.
Why does he have a master's shirt? He's never been to Augusta.
I don't know, but he had one on. I said, that's kind of a joke, George. And secondly, you know, we were talking about this, and you know how he made fun of me last week about win the competition. Really, I'm a competitive guy, but really the only reason that I'm on this show, and I'm certainly glad y'all asked me a long time ago, was to make fun of George and just to make sure that I'm in front of George at the end of the season, which it's only not happened one time, and he won it a couple of years ago. So that's really the only time, the only reason I'm on here, although my competitive juices do get flowing sometimes, and I want to win the thing at some point. But, you know, I like making fun of George, so let's just get that out there.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So,
and we love the fact that you love making fun of George.
We support it.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
We approve that message.
It's endorsed by the commissioner's office.
Good. Good. Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Well, after much contemplation here, I had three games, but I'm going to go with I'm going to say, because I know this guy, and he is definitely on the hot seat, but I'm going to say that at home, the Tar Heels stick it to the Cavaliers.
Oh. That's not one I had on my list. Interesting.
I just hope Larry Fedora can get him to going, man. I know him. Wish him well. I know they hadn't played well at all this year. But I'm going to go with the Tar Heels.
North Carolina is a 3.5-point dog against Virginia. Now, what is not notated on my sheet is where that game is played. I believe it is at North Carolina, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's in North Carolina. That's what it says on the computer here, but who knows?
All right.
I am looking that up, and it is – at North Carolina. It's in Chapel Hill.
Okay, so they're a home dog against the Cavaliers. Key ACC matchup. General, was that on your radar?
I glanced at it, but North Carolina's got too many people hurt. And just having a bad
They're bad. Day. There's no doubt. They're bad.
It was
the home dog.
They've got a lot of people hurt.
And not just hurt, they're injured because they're out for the season. I mean, it seems like all their guys that leave the field, the news comes back, they're done for the year. That's what's been plaguing them. I mean, they don't even get any of these guys back. It's like every time somebody goes down, the next report is they're out for the season.
So we have two ACC games that have been selected so far. That brings us to the very downtrodden, solemn Darren McFarland needing points in the competition. With seven right now, he's in a second-place position, but 8 points behind the leader. Darren, the field is yours.
Indian Fever. It starts from the very first inning. Indian Fever. Each game is a brand new beginning. It's the hits, the homers, the double plays. It's how you feel when we win. So catch Indian Fever.
Be a believer.
With the Cleveland
Indians.
The tears are rolling down his cheeks right now. There's the emotion here, he just couldn't get himself to do it.
I can't say.
The background singers were there. Where was the solo?
I couldn't do
what
it.
What happened?
I couldn't do it.
There's no pride.
Last night happened.
Yeah.
They can't field the baseball, Darren. What happened last year and this year? They had some bonehead plays.
Issue with pitching to lefties too.
Good.
They weren't good at the guys on the left side of the plate.
And I was reminded, and I think you were as well, by some of the same people on Twitter, that there was a quote yesterday. Do I believe that they can beat Corey Kluber twice in one series? No. I don't believe it.
I
was with you.
I said it at the beginning of the show. All those people, they can say that to me on Twitter.
He owned up to it.
I mean, that's the way I felt. They were not going to shred Kluber again, and they shredded Kluber again.
Well, one guy did.
Well, Didi, that's all it took. I mean, he didn't make it out of the fourth. They shredded him. Okay? Yeah. He got beat up again. So, you know, I own up
and
to it. What do you want me
Sabathia,
to say?
The old man, he
the guy
was
looks
good.
Like he's in a beer softball league.
He got it done. He got enough. And then those relievers, man, the Indian hitters are going to have nightmares about those guys all
right,
winter.
Enough about that.
Sorry
enough
about that. Okay.
Jeez, pressing talk.
Sorry to go off on the tangent.
Oh, Lee.
I've been there.
I'll tell you what I have figured out, guys. You know, at the end, every time when we wrap up, I always say, did anybody think about this game? Well, why don't you start recording that and look at my record in the, hey, did anybody consider this team? Because
you're not
picking that
game.
Maybe I should start picking those teams because those are the teams that keep winning, and my picks are not. In fact, I believe the first team I said last week was, hey, did anybody consider NC State tonight?
Whoops.
Yeah, why
against Louisville?
I don't understand why. Man,
I still can't understand
I had
why
them on
nobody
the list.
Picked
why
that one.
Nobody took them? And then what did they do? They went out and beat Louisville. I just think this is, yet again, kind of like the why I understand the Georgia Tech pick. Miami coming off a big win in Tallahassee. Michigan State had a big win in Ann Arbor. I've watched them. I'm sorry. And I know I would say this even if D-Mace was here. I just don't think – they're that great. Minnesota has lost two in a row. Their last home game, they lost to Maryland with their third-string quarterback. The game last week, the general, I said it was not – that score was not indicative of the game. They were actually winning late. It got away. I think they bounce back at home. It's a night game. And I think they'll row the boat to victory over Michigan State. Give me Minnesota in the four.
Very interesting. The Minnesota Golden Gophers have been at the forefront of many picks, as have Michigan State. And so why not? They're going head-to-head here. Minnesota is a four-point home dog against Derek Mason's beloved Michigan State Spartans, who, as Darren mentioned, coming off the emotional win, need we go back and play Derek's emotional rant on Friday, the pep talk that was heard all the way up in East Lansing and throughout the state of Michigan, I believe.
As he called them, scum you.
So Minnesota has been picked the second straight week. The general who picked Minnesota last week, Al Dorsey, defending champion with his late season surge, looking to try to get back into the competition. Currently, he's got 4 points, 11 points out of the lead, and he has the fourth pick.
Well,
wait a minute. Hold on. Where are the bugles?
There we go.
Okay. Okay, hold on. The bugles were a little late.
Cue the bugles.
The cavalry was a little late coming down the mountain.
Two of my picks are already gone.
Which were what?
So, the Minnesota and Georgia Tech. Mm. So, I am going to go with out on a way far limb because TCU is playing really well. But Bill Snyder's a heck of a coach, and they're playing at home, so I'm going to take Kansas State.
Oh, Kansas State, yet again another. Hmm. That's been another popular pick.
Here's another intriguing thing. Kansas State was picked last week by Derek. They lost the double overtime game. According to the Tennessean, the line opened at a pick'em. But as the general makes the pick here today, Kansas State is a 6-point home dog in that game against TCU, and TCU's been playing some good football. So how did it go from pick'em to six? That is an interesting question, but we will find that out on Saturday. So with that in mind, it's time for the final pick. Derek Mason, absent. Associate Commissioner Chase McCabe takes the microphone.
He gave me 5 games, and they're all still on the table. I don't know what that says.
It says he's in the cellar and he's going his own way.
But his number one pick is Texas A&M.
And so we will go with that. Texas A&M is a 2.5-point dog playing on the road at Florida. Going to take a road dog, just 2.5 points. Is he aware of this?
He's in last, yeah. And he's taking a 2.5-pointer.
That one has gone from 5.5 to 2.5. Since the line opened.
Going for the sticks.
How far is he out of first?
He is currently 11.5 points out of first.
Yeah.
You know, it's early. There's time to chip away.
Okay.
So there you have it.
I'll do it real quick before we review. Anybody think about Texas?
That was on Georgia's list.
Anybody for the home run pick? Did anybody consider Purdue?
That was on Derek's list.
Did anybody consider LSU a home dog against Auburn? Those two always seem to play crazy games that go right to the wire.
That's what, 6-7 points?
That's a 7.
We'll remember those. Come back. Okay.
Okay.
Let's review.
Let us review. The plays have been made. These are the picks for Week 7. Silly Underdogs. Brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. George Plaster with the first pick selects the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Once upon a time, has George ever told you he used to do some Georgia Tech games when Calvin Johnson was there?
No way. And he discovered him.
Did he make anybody aware of that at the time?
He did.
He did.
Yeah.
The Jackets, 5.5-point dogs at Miami. Red hot under Mark Richt. Kelly Holcomb, leader in the competition, also goes into the Atlantic Coast Conference. And he selects the North Carolina Tar Heels, a 3.5-point home dog against the Virginia Cavaliers. Darren McFarlane with the third pick. Very downtrodden. Very solemn. Couldn't even sing along with his theme song because the Cleveland Indians have been eliminated from postseason play. But he had a job to do. He goes into the Big Ten and he selects the Golden Gophers of Minnesota, a 4-point dog playing at home against the Michigan State Spartans. The fourth pick, Al Dorsey, goes into the Big 12, and he selects Kansas State, a 6-point home dog taking on red-hot TCU. And finally, Derek Mason, absent from competition. He goes with Texas A&M, trying to pick up just a pair. 2.5-point dog at Florida in the swamp, feeling like Florida is due to drop another. Will they lose 2 in a row at the swamp? Who knows? Remember, you can play online by going to thegamenashville.com. Make your picks before Saturday morning at kickoff time, thegamenashville.com. Those are our picks for week number 7. And, gentlemen, good luck.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. Guys, thanks as always. Have a good weekend.
Fellas, holla at you.
Kelly Holcomb, Al Dorsey, the general. Appreciate them. We'll come back. Tommy Tuberville, he will be in the booth for the South Carolina-Tennessee game in Knoxville. We'll talk to the coach next on 3D. He'll be in Knoxville on Saturday. Vols and Gamecocks. Tennessee is starting Jarrett Garantano, the redshirt freshman. We bring in former coach Tommy Tuberville. He's on the line with us. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great. You guys have made my day. I just heard a Nick Saban Mercedes-Benz commercial. My God. Hey, what is this world coming to?
He's got a dealership right by the airport, which isn't far from our station. It just opened a couple months ago.
You know, used to, you couldn't get him to talk about anything but football. Now he's really turned in. He and I play golf together. He's turned into a pretty good golfer. Now he's selling cars. I mean, this guy has come so far since I met him about 20 years ago. It's unbelievable. And he's got a pretty good football team on the side, by the way.
Well, yeah, they're pretty good. We'll get to that in a bit. Well, your next round with him, you're going to need to work in that Mercedes, too, on the golf course.
Hey, don't think he's hadn't been trying to sell me one. He has.
So you were in our city last weekend as Vanderbilt hosted Georgia. Georgia is obviously off to a tremendous start this season. They're one of the best teams in the country. What did you see out of them, and how legit are they through your eyes?
Well, you know, it's typical. They got a plan, you know, and teams that have a plan, and, of course, that Georgia's a great opportunity for Kirby Smart. You know, he's from there. He's one of their own. He knows what he's doing. He's building a football team. He's got a great defense, as we saw, and I've seen him twice this year, one other than the Vanderbilt game last week. And, you know, he's got a great running game. It's just his passing game is going to hold him back, and he's got a true freshman. And they don't do a lot with him in the passing game because he hadn't learned enough yet to try to win a game through the air. But sooner or later, he's going to have to do it. He's going to have to win a game throwing the ball. People are going to stack the box on him. And they hadn't really been challenged all throughout the year. They've pretty much run the table pretty easy and been working their game. But as I talked to Kirby last week and we talked about it, he's got some big games coming up with Florida and Auburn and then probably the championship game. They're the best team in the East, I think, by far. I think that obviously it'll come down with the Florida game, but they've got a good team.
Well, you mentioned Auburn, and their only blemish is at Clemson. No shame in that. They've got a tough test on Saturday in Death Valley against LSU. Good news for them is they're in the day and not at night. But how good are they when you – I mean, I guess we all look at Alabama and Georgia, and then I think that next team on the list is Auburn. But through your eyes, what do you see with the Tigers?
Well, I get a chance to watch them all on film every week, and I think probably Auburn's the second best right now behind Alabama. It's pretty close with Georgia. The whole deal – And again, it goes back to defense. If you got to play defense first in this league. If you don't, you got no chance. But Alabama's got a great defense. Auburn's got a great defense. Georgia's got a great defense. Then the next thing is running game, as we talked about. I'm a little worried about Auburn. They keep getting their running backs hurt. They've got two real good ones. One has not played much this year. The other one, Kerryon Johnson, he's a stud, but he can't do it by himself. He's got a long road the next few weeks through Texas A&M and LSU and, of course, then Georgia. It's going to be tough, but, you know, if everybody stays healthy on all teams, you know, I think that's going to be a great battle with Georgia. And then, of course, the Iron Bowl the next week is going to be a huge showdown to see who gets the championship game. I think, as we speak, Auburn's got a chance to beat Alabama. Now, again, going back to a lot of if and ands between now and, you know, injury time, because Auburn's got a lot of depth. The thing that Gus has done, he's built depth and he's got experience depth, and that pays off for you down the road in November, you know, in the SEC.
Want to go back on Vanderbilt. Derek Mason comes on our show every week with us, and this has been a tough stretch, a gauntlet, going from Kansas State to Alabama to Florida to Georgia, and certainly they went 1-3 and took their lumps in a couple of them. Now you look at the rest of a very manageable schedule after going through a stretch like that. But you know how this works, Tommy. You know, these kids, it's confidence. It's you got to build back up a little bit. How tough is it when you take your lumps and you know you're a good team, but you know they're probably down a little bit. Their psyche's a little down, and you got to build them up for the stretch run the rest of the year.
Yeah, Derek had the gauntlet early. You know, now he's got games and teams that he can compete with. He couldn't compete with the teams that he just got through playing. There was no chance. Vanderbilt really never has. You know, when they play some of the top teams in the league, it's just, but most people don't. It's not just Vanderbilt. You know, I'm not saying anything bad about them. It's just, you know, the teams that they played, I thought they held their own against Florida. Florida's not a great team, though. They found out that the two teams are Alabama and Georgia. They got them out of the way. Now let's see if they can compete. Now they've got Ole Miss, who's not a very good team. You know, they're going south in a hurry just for, you know, what has happened with coach leaving and all the things in recruiting. It's just, it's crumbling on them real fast. So that'll be a game. I think, you know, Tennessee, you know, who knows which direction they're going right now. They're not going north. They're going south. And a lot of things will be told this weekend. And, of course, Kentucky's probably one of the better teams that they'll play. I like what they're doing. They're playing defense and running the ball, as we talked about. So Kentucky's got Vanderbilt's got a chance. But we'll just see what happens. They pick up the pieces because they played a brutal last month.
Tommy Tuberville is with us talking SEC football here on 102.5 The Game. And, Coach, you know that Ole Miss program very, very well. And going back, you had some success there while you were there. But it's a unique place. I'm curious, as you see them go through what they're going through right now, I don't know if I would say they have to start over, but they certainly have to reset some things and build again. What are some of the keys to winning in that particular place?
Well, I mean, it's tradition-rich. The people want to win games. They know they're what they lack in certain areas, but I tell you, they've done a good job. It really makes me mad what has happened here, because, you know, I took over the last time when all this happened in 1995, and it was a God-honest mess. And Pete Boone, Chancellor Kayak, we put a plan together so it wouldn't happen again. We had great oversight, you know, because boosters at every team in the country, not just the SEC, try to get in and help. But you've really got to put your finger on, especially Ole Miss, because they want to win. They want to win games. And, again, it's a great school, a lot of great people. I was very adamant, you know, when this came out, the athletic director has got to go. I mean, for him not to have oversight in what was going on there, I mean, that's his job. That's his job to understand, well, let's see, we had a number one recruiting class here at Ole Miss. Am I going to be a cheerleader? I'm going to go check on this and make sure we did everything right. He didn't do that. He just got on the bus, clapped his hands, and when things went south, you know, he's pointing fingers. So Ole Miss is a great place. They've let this thing get out of hand. They'll get it back. It's going to take a while because, you know, it's just they're in the SEC. They got that opportunity. But people have to pay the price for what? It's kind of like a coach losing games. You know, the athletic director lost his game. He lost, you know, the continuity with what's going on, institutional control. And maybe even the president. You know, you can tell it makes me mad because I saw what those people went through for about 7-8 years, and they got to be respectable, and then all of a sudden they let this mess happen again. So I'll get off my soapbox now.
No, it's a great answer. You have so much insight into that, so that'll be in the back of everybody's mind as they watch Vanderbilt Ole Miss. Let's finish with one on South Carolina-Tennessee. It was such an intriguing game last year, and it was one that really sent Tennessee's season into a different direction once South Carolina pulled off the victory there. Now coming back to Knoxville here, one thing that was a storyline was the emergence of the young quarterback. He was, I guess he was still supposed to be the age of a high school senior. And then they threw him in there, and he seemed to help turn their season around. So what do you see from South Carolina's young quarterback?
He's not bad. You know, he's getting a little better. I talked to Muschamp last couple of days. You know, he worked for me. And, you know, he knows that he's got a lot of learning to do. He's got a lot of things in front of him. He's a competitor. He's a coach's son. He was at Auburn High School. His dad got hired by Will when he was a junior. After his season, he decided to graduate early and go on to and redshirt in South Carolina. Well, it all worked out, but one thing, they didn't have a quarterback, so he didn't get to redshirt. He played. But he's going to be a good quarterback. I think that everything will work out for him. he'll get better and better. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't have a quarterback in college football now that's athletic, that can make a play with his legs, that can run, you're playing with one arm behind your back. And all these guys that are recruiting these pocket quarterbacks, that's good. He better be great, because these defenses are getting better and better, and it just makes it very hard on kids that can't make a big play out of a bad play. So I like Kid. I really do. But he's limited, and I think that Will, obviously, I think he's got a real good athletic quarterback coming, and needs to be some pressure put on somebody to gain a little bit more athletic ability in the pocket.
You're a competitive guy. If you want to get in the car business, open up a lot here in Nashville and put it across the street from Nick Saban. That would be fun.
I'd love to. I'd love to. I'd put a Lamborghini or, you know, something like that over there. And, you know, I was listening to that, and I said, that is not Nick Saban doing a commercial. I said, you can't get him to talk on the radio. He won't do interviews hardly. You know, he's selling rat poison at pregame press conferences and our postgame. And, again, me and Nick are friends. We go way back. It just sounds a little funny for that to be on the air. I've caught by surprise a little bit. Don't think I'm not going to text him and let him know I heard his commercial.
Yeah, we don't want to tell anybody that his team is good. He doesn't like that, as we found out this week. Tommy, always good to catch up with you. Thanks for doing this.
You got it, guys. Have a good weekend. Should be a great one in Knoxville. And where's Vandy Ole Miss game? Where's that game at?
At Ole Miss.
Oh, that's a tough place to play. That should be a good game.
Big game.
No doubt. Enjoy your time in Knoxville. Appreciate it.
Oh, okay, guys. Thank you.
Tommy Tuberville, he'll be in the booth for South Carolina and Tennessee on Saturday. Fourth and final hour of 3D. That's next.